I first encountered Our Spoons Came From Woolworths in a second-hand bookshop in Lyme Regis. Spotting the familiar dark green spine in among a row of mildewed paperbacks, I pulled it out. I had never read any Barbara Commons. The name was unfamiliar to me, and the title name-checked a shop synonymous with the taste of slightly stale pick-and-mix. But as I have a habit of buying any Virago modern classics I don't already own, I decided to override these misgivings and make the purchase. It would prove to be the best 50 pence I ever spent. I began to flick through the pages as I walked away from the shop. Just 5 minutes later, I was so engrossed that I had to stop and sit down on a bench on the cob. I didn't make it back to the holiday flat for some time. When I finished the novel, I resolved not only to track down all her other books, but to find out as much as I could about Barbara Commons. My research yielded stories of a life defined by both variety and instability, which is wholly unsurprising once you've read her novels. She was born in 1909 in a Warwickshire village, one of six children. Her father, the managing director of a chemicals firm, was by her own description an impatient, violent man, alternatively spoiling and frightening us. Her mother was a childlike invalid, lavishing more attention on her pet monkey than on her children. She went deaf at 25, and Barbara and her siblings had to communicate with her in deaf and dumb language on our hands. The children seem to have spent most of their time in boats. "It is extraordinary," Commons remarked, "that none of us was drowned because only two of us could swim." She began to write and illustrate stories at the age of 10. I don't know which I enjoyed most, the writing or drawing. By her late teens, she was living alone in a bedsit in London. At 21, she married fellow artist John Pemberton. After two children and many troubles, we parted more or less amicably. Photographs show her as pale-skinned and large-eyed, with the expressive, ethereal beauty of a silent movie star. She supported herself by working as an artist's model, by converting old houses into flats, selling vintage cars, and breeding poodles. But all the time, she was writing. Her first novel, Sisters by a River, was published in 1947, after being serialised under the unprophetic subtitle The Novel Nobody Will Publish. Our Spoons Came From Woolworths followed in 1950. I defy anyone to read the opening 20 or so pages of Our Spoons Came From Woolworths and not be drawn in, just as I was that day on the Windy Cob. It is a novel much dependent on voice, and this one is engagingly unguarded and instantly intriguing. Within the first chapter, Sophia has disclosed that she has met a man called Charles on a train, that they were both carrying artists' portfolios. They decide to get married, but are too shy to ring the bell at the church door. They go to view a flat in Haverstock Hill, whereupon the landlady's medium sister promptly falls into a trance and switches into the voice of a Chinese man called Mr. He Wu, telling them that they are so lucky to be offered such a beautiful flat for only 25 shillings a week. It's safe to say that this is a novel in which you are never quite sure what will happen next. Over the following pages, we hear of the young couple's defiant marriage, against Charles's family's wishes, and of Sophia's habit of carrying about her pet newt and giving him swims in water jugs. The newt is even present at the wedding, in her pocket as a kind of page, and as the ceremony takes place, birds are singing from the church's rafters, and someone in the congregation is shouting out to ask if Sophia would like a kitten. So far, so charming and madcap. But any astute reader of fiction will know that if a couple are happy and in love at the start of a novel, then the situation can only turn sour. Such is the way of narrative. A matter of weeks into the marriage, Charles is horrified and appalled to learn that Sophia is pregnant. "He made me feel," Sophia says, "I had betrayed him in some way." He refuses to give up his life as a struggling painter, and Sophia, purely on account of her pregnancy, is let go from her job, thereby losing the only income.